Moorhead.
Hi, Life House. My name is Julia Moorhead, and I'm here to introduce you to my pap, Pastor Todd Alexander.
All right. And not to be outdone.
Everybody, God is here for you.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is Magnolia, by the way. Pastor Todd Alexander, come on up. Oh, there, Olivia said no.
That's my favorite son-in-law right there. Yeah. I spoke for the first time at this church the week before Drew and Kristen came to be your pastors. And I can tell you, $6,000 might as well have been $6 million. Because you were at that lunch when I met with the board, and they're like, what are we going to do? And I said, God is sending you a pastor. You get behind him. You pray for him, you lift him up, and he's going to lead you out of this. And I'll never forget, Drew came to him and he said, Pop, he said, I think we ought to change the name of the church. You remember that conversation? We ought to change the name of the church. I just, you know, there's some bad stuff in the past. I don't know how good our name is. And I said, you know what? You pray about it. I said, but if I was you, I would just get out there and make the church be a life house. You just live up to your name, right? I'm glad you didn't change it, brother. I'm glad you didn't change it. Yeah. Amen. And it is, I'm going to tell you, it's good to be Pap. I love hearing Pap, except when Meemaw says it. That usually means Pap's in trouble, right? When she breaks the pap out. But you know, the rules are different when Pap is here. Everything changes. Kristen can tell you, Drew can tell you that I don't care about their rules because Pap's here. And I was here at the church a few years ago and there was a crisis in the Stiefel home. Poor Ben Stiefel, hardworking man. Wanted some cereal one night, and he went to the cupboard, and he saw that there was a box of cereal that he really wanted. But there was a rule, you couldn't open that box until the box that was open got emptied. And he had to eat the cereal he didn't like so that one day he'd be able to eat the cereal he did like. How many of you know that ain't Pap rules right there? And I came to this church and I gave him two boxes of cereal of his favorite kind that he could open whenever he wanted, because that's what Pap rules, right? Well, there's a couple things I need to do before I bring the Word of God today, and I will preach. Hang in there. Somebody got called out by the pastor of this church. I heard it online and couldn't believe that the pastor was getting on to one of my buddies. I mean, he's got like a Pap card he can play to get out of trouble. And he kind of got on to him, and I know it's kind of been jokingly, but I just want to set the record straight today. Pap's in town. Here's your Celsius, my brother. Right here. There you go. Crack it open. All right, because Pap's in town. I've got another gift, and unfortunately, the recipient is not here. I understand the Hartzog's got a surprise trip to Disney. Yeah, like told Sherry like Thursday night or something, like, hey, we're going to Disney, you know, pack your bags. And so Sherry's not here, but there's something that her heart desires. And my heart was touched when I heard that she secretly had this longing. And I just wanted to make it happen because that's what Pap does. Pap makes things happen. And so she's not here, but I'm going to give this. Can I give this to you, Don? You'll see Sherry. We got her a sparkly microphone right there. There's no need to thank me, brother. No need to thank me. She told me, put on social media, that Don wouldn't let her have one. That's a Don rule, not a Pap rule. Come on, somebody. Pap's in town. Pap's in town. Got your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. If you're there, stand up, please, for the reading of the word today. Genesis 15 is an incredible story where God tells a man named Abram, that we later know as Abraham. He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Your descendants, look up in the sky, he said. See all the stars? Your descendants will number like the stars in the sky. And Abraham's like, but God. You ever said, but God? But God. I don't have any kids. But the word says in Genesis 15, verse 6, and Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his what? Faith. Then the Lord told him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it? God is promising a land and a people. And Abram says, but sovereign Lord, how can I be sure? Anybody ever prayed one of those prayers? Yeah, I have many times. Lord, how can I be sure? Verse 9, the Lord told him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer. Now, city folks, a heifer is a female cow that has not been bred. It's not an old cow like some people think, okay? So if you call a woman a heifer, you're calling her a teenager. It's really not that bad, okay? That wasn't even in my notes. I'll make you proud, sister. Hang on. All right. I was raised on a little farm that raised dairy cows until the heifers were ready to breed, and then we sold them. And they were between 12 months and 15 months. That's when you breed a heifer. Now, do you see what God's asking for here? The Lord told him, bring me not a 1-year-old, not even a 2-year-old, bring me a 3-year-old heifer. You see how rare that was? A 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And so Abram presented all these to him, and he killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. Father, we give you our mind, our spirit right now. Would you focus us in on what this word is saying not just to Abram then, but to me today here at Lifehouse. If you'll anoint every ear to hear, if you'll anoint your servant to speak it one more time, we'll be careful to praise you for it all. And we ask it in the strong name of Jesus. And everybody said amen to it. Amen. You can be seated. God was making a covenant with Abram. In Old Testament times, a covenant was a serious thing. Very serious thing. We have contracts today. And many times, contracts have loopholes to get you out of them. If you don't think so, put your house on the market and try to sell it. Come on, somebody. There are loophole after loophole after loophole. We have wedding vows today. We have mortgages. We have car loans. We have all kinds of agreements, all of which can be broken. But when you made a covenant in Bible times, you were being serious. To make it official, you would take an animal and you would cut the animal in half. It might be a ram, it might be a goat, it might be a bull. And you and the person making the covenant, you would cut that animal in half and you would lay half of it here and half of it there. And then you and the person that you're making this agreement, this covenant with, would walk between the two halves. You ever heard the phrase, we cut a deal? Yep. Now you know where it came from, okay? Cut a deal. You sacrificed that animal, you laid it out, you walked between it. And what you were saying when you did that was this: if I don't live up to my part of the covenant, may this happen to me. Wouldn't that make getting a credit card fun today? Come on, somebody. Ooh, Jesus. And so God tells Abram, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. Your descendants are going to look like the stars in the sky. And Abram believed God. When he said he had a land for him, when he said he had an inheritance for him, and he believed God while he was still childless. To seal the deal, to make this a covenant, not just a promise from God. This is a covenant. God says, I'll show you how you can know this is going to happen. Let's make this a covenant. He said, bring me these animals. And Abram knew exactly why God had said to do it. He said, this is a covenant agreement between God. This thing is going to happen. And it helped Abram to know that he did not have to doubt. He could believe God because God is a God of his word. Amen. Amen. People say God can do anything. No, he can't. He can't lie. God can't lie. God can't contradict his word. And so this covenant was going to seal the deal. And Abraham's fired up, 75-year-old man. Come on, somebody. Saying, I'm going to be a daddy. I'm going to be the father of many nations. I'm going to have an inheritance. And so God draws up the covenant. He says, you get these things and you prepare them. Now, there's a few things I want you to understand today about a covenant. And the first one is this: wherever there's sacrifice, there will be buzzards. Wherever there's sacrifice, there will be buzzards. This is one of the most powerful moments in Abram's life. This is life-changing. He's making a covenant with God. for an inheritance that he can't even see yet. And as soon as he gets the sacrifice ready, he gets the three-year-old heifer. He gets all the three-year-old animals. He cuts them all out. He lays them out. He's leaving a room in the middle for him and God to walk down and seal this covenant. And I can tell you this with full assurance today that any time you sacrifice anything, you sacrifice your time, you sacrifice your talent, you sacrifice your finances, you sacrifice your Bible study time, your prayer time, I can tell you there will always be buzzards waiting to come pick at what you're doing. Always. Always. Buzzards don't kill their own food. See, buzzards don't sacrifice. They want to come and eat on what you have sacrificed. I mean, it took a lot of work for Abraham to gather these things. He did the work. He prepared the animals. He laid them out. He had everything ready. And the buzzards come in to begin to pick at them. I imagine as he was doing that, he had to fight every ounce of doubt that he could have had. Man, God said to do this, but whew, the father of many nations? Whew, I don't know, but here we go. I'm preparing everything it is. He had to get the heifer. He had to get the goat, the ram, the dove, the pigeons, and prepare them and lay them out. And before he and the Lord could walk between them and seal the covenant, he had to fight off the buzzards and drive them away. Listen to me, Lifehouse. You have sacrificed. You have prayed. And you have fasted. And you have given. And you have worked. And you have sacrificed in so many ways to get to where you are today. And I came by today to tell somebody, don't let the buzzards come get what you have sacrificed for. Don't let them do it. Chase them away from what this church has done. Sometimes the enemy sends buzzards, I believe, to pick at you. Sometimes I think he sends buzzards inside the church. Whoa, Pastor, what? Yeah. Yeah, in little churches they fly solo. In big churches they fly in squadrons. Come on, somebody. They swoop in and try to pick at what you have sacrificed to do. And it is your job to chase them away. Buzzards pick at what you're doing. They say things like this. This isn't good enough. This isn't. What you're doing isn't good enough. And they tear at what you are doing and pick at what you're doing. They try to destroy and laugh and ridicule you. Can you imagine what the enemy was whispering in Abram's ear? Are you serious, old man? You're going to be a dad? And he just cuts the ram in half and lays it out. Are you kidding me? It's going to be a long time before you. You may never even see that. You think God really said that to you? And he cuts the heifer in half. Y'all with me? You just got to keep doing what God has told you to do. Because if the buzzards show up, you must be doing something right. Yeah. Yeah. Buzzards make you doubt, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Buzzards make you think things like, did I really hear from God? Or was that some bad Taco Bell? Buzzards make you think, am I going to be a failure? You ever feel that way, Pastor? Stand up here and share some vision and think, man, nobody's going to follow this. I know them buzzards. I know them. Buzzards make you think things like, you know, maybe I should just walk away from this whole thing. Maybe I should just walk away from this whole thing. But I came by today to tell each and every one of you that is struggling just a little bit right now in your walk with God. Maybe God has promised you something and you haven't seen it through yet. Maybe God has laid something on your heart that he wants to do in you and through you, but you haven't seen the fruit of it yet. Maybe God has promised something about your family. Maybe God has birthed a dream in you and you haven't seen the dream come to pass yet. I came by today to tell you that the God who gave you that dream is more than able to see it through. More than able to empower you to get it done. Mom and dads, you're raising your kids and you got them here in this great church, and the kids' leaders here are pouring into them. The youth pastor is pouring into your teenagers, and they're doing a great job. Let me tell you something. You've got to guard that sacrifice. I mean, you got to chase the buzzards away from your family. Oh, Pastor Todd, you don't know. You got a perfect family. Well, yes. But what I'll say to you is this. You didn't know me when we walked through the depths of hell with our son. As his wife was trying to kill herself 3 times in my home. You weren't there. When he felt like chucking it on. You weren't there when he had to raise up his son by himself at 20 years old. You weren't there in those dark times. I'm going to tell you, we chased a lot of buzzards away going through that. See, you weren't there when my daughter went off to college and fell into sin. I can't remember if it was her second year or third year at Lee University. We thought we were sending her off to a great place. And I don't think I've ever shared this publicly. I found out the hard way. She had gotten a parking ticket. Oh, no, hang on. You think it's funny? She turned around and got another parking ticket in the same spot the next day. And so as she is swirling deeper and deeper into the depths of this sin, we had to chase the buzzards away. And all kidding aside, that's about the worst thing she's done in her life right there. 2 parking tickets that I know about, yeah, before she met this boy. Let me tell you something, parents, Philippians 1:6, he who began, you can be confident, you can be sure, you can cut a deal, you can make a covenant on this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Let me tell you something. The Red Sea didn't stop Moses because Moses had a promise from God. The walls around Jericho did not stop Joshua. Why? Because he had a promise from God. A giant named Goliath didn't stop a shepherd boy named David. Why? Because he had a promise from God. And death didn't stop Jesus because he had a promise from God. If God tells you a rooster can plow, go get a harness and hook it up. Come on, somebody. You're going to plow. But there will always be buzzards that you'll have to deal with. Secondly today, I want you to know this. I need to speak faith and not buzzard. I need to speak faith. I don't need to speak buzzards. It's easy when the buzzards are laughing at you and telling you that it's not going to work out for you, making you doubt what God has told you. Like that dadgum snake in the garden. Did God really say? Should have said, yes, and I cut you in half and lay you on each side. That's how you handle snakes. Come on, somebody. I don't care if I am in East Tennessee. That's how you handle them. Y'all think this is East Tennessee. There's 3 more hours of East Tennessee where we used to pastor. Way up in there. It's easy to start believing the buzzards if you don't exercise your faith. We will start replacing what God says with what the buzzards say. And when we find ourselves repeating that, we can get in trouble. Rick Godwin, I read a quote from him the other day that said, a church critic and a servant of the church see the same problem. One goes online, the other goes to work. Somebody just got an elbow right there. That's okay. That elbow was in love. Don't go online, go to work. You and I have both heard people that talk that way. And it makes me want to respond the way that God did in the garden. Adam and Eve take a bite of the fruit that God told them to not to. Amen? He said, don't do it. And for all you guys that like to blame Eve, if you'll read the next sentence in your Bible, it will say, and she gave some to her husband Adam, who was there with her. Boy, them some high-pitched amens right there. I got a women folk with me now. And God comes to see him, as he's in the custom of doing. He can't find them, and he says, where are you? Did God know where they are? Oh, yeah, he know. He said, where are you? And Adam said, well, we're over here hiding. And he said, why are you hiding? And the Southern translation of the Bible says, we were hiding because we were naked. Buck naked. How many of you know there's a difference? Jerry Clower went in to get a MRI, and the nurse told him, said, get in there and get naked. And he said, buck naked? And she said, is there any other kind? He said, yes, ma'am, you can be naked and still have your socks on. I'm talking, they was buck naked. He said, God, we're buck naked. naked as a jaybird, right? And here's what God said. Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you you were naked? You didn't know you were naked unless you've been over there eating of that fruit you're not supposed to. Let me tell you something. It's about some time some spirit-filled folks started rising up. When somebody wants to talk buzzard about Lifehouse Church, we need to tell them, who told you that? Who told you our God isn't able? Who told you our God isn't going to supply the need? Who told you God's not going to see that family saved and delivered and filled with the Holy Spirit? Who told you that wasn't going to work here? Because God said it wasn't me. It's buzzards. Buzzards that you listen to. Stop speaking buzzard and start speaking faith. And what God did for King Jehoshaphat when he was surrounded by three armies, and they said, Jehoshaphat, what are we going to do? And he said, I don't know. Don't you wish a government leader would say that today? I just don't know. But let's fast and pray. And they fasted and prayed, Pastor, and they said, God says, go out here to the edge and you watch. And they watched, and the three armies came in and started attacking each other and killed one another. And the people of God didn't have to do a single thing. That's speaking faith. That's not speaking buzzard. What he did for Paul and Silas when they were in prison, amen. How many of you know the chains come off, the doors swing open when God shows up in the place? What he did for them, he'll do for you. What he did for Peter when he was in jail. One of my favorite stories. God kicks the door open, releases Peter. Peter heads to the house. He gets to his house, tries to go in the door. Servant girl stops and says, wait, right now is not a good time. Peter's in jail, and we're having a prayer meeting in here for him. And Peter's like, well, duh. It worked. Start speaking faith and stop speaking buzzard. Let me tell you something. You were drowning in an ocean of sin. God saved you out of it. He didn't save you from that ocean of sin to drown you in a mud puddle somewhere. Speak faith. Last thing I want to tell you today is number three, the truth will trump the facts. Can you say Trump? Okay, all right, y'all. The truth will trump the facts. Let's say that you see me driving a brand new 2025 Mercedes-Benz S680. Twin turbo V12s. Room, 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 room. Woo! Look at you acting like you wouldn't have your foot down in that thing, man. You know exactly. We know. Y'all know what you got over here, don't you? That's right. Thank God I delivered him out of them Fords and got him driving General Motors products. God has been good to me. Hallelujah. All right. And you go, whoa, that's Pastor Todd. He's in that brand new 680. That thing's got a V12 twin turbo. It's got those Napa leather seats. And you, as I go by, you see the sticker still in the window. And you look at it and you see that it's $270,000. And if you saw me driving that, it would lead you to say, whoo, Pap done got a new car for Meemaw. That's how that would work. But the truth would trump the facts. The facts was you saw me driving it. The truth was Pastor Drew was just letting me borrow it. Right? Yeah. You finally with me. I want you to hear me today. The facts may be that right now you don't have everything you need. The facts may be right now that times are rough for you, whether it's in the natural, whether it's spiritual, because you're going through something, whatever it might be. The facts might be that the roof is collapsing at the church you go to. Can I tell y'all something? The church I pastor, the roof fell in. Can y'all believe that? It might be me. I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have me come back no more. Yeah, the church I pastor in Gallatin, House of Grace, the roof collapsed in 2011. And it was a mess. Did you know that? It's a mess, yeah. Yeah. Can I tell you today, we got a brand new, completely paid for, debt-free building. Come on, somebody. We fixed that roof, and we put another roof on. We got two roofs. Listen, the worst sinner in the world can walk in, and the ceiling ain't coming down on him. The facts may be that God has called you, and you got sidetracked somewhere along the way. The facts may be that your family has seen better times. You've got some rebellion bubbling up. You've got some kids that aren't behaving exactly the way they should. Maybe you got some financial problems in your household. And it's putting a real strain on your relationship with everybody and everything. The facts may just be that. The facts may be that God has promised you something and you haven't seen it yet. And you're over here going, man, that was a long time ago. God, you promised me, but I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it. Came by today to tell somebody the truth will trump the facts. The truth of what God says will trump the facts. The truth is, we see a faithful God, amen. We serve a faithful God who is true to his word. We serve a God who cannot lie. He'll do what he's promised to do. Don't doubt. Don't give up. Chase the buzzards away. Don't let them get what you have sacrificed for. And you begin to speak faith over that situation. You know what buzzards say? Buzzards say, I don't think my marriage is going to make it. Buzzards say, your family's a mess. I don't even know how you can go to Lifehouse Church the way your family is. Buzzards say things like, you're in such a financial hole, you can never get out of this problem. Buzzards say things like, you have failed your children. It's your fault. Pastor Todd, how do you know this? Because I've dealt with buzzards for a long time. I know what they say. Okay? And those things may be the facts. But the truth is found in verse 6 in what I read. We started off this whole text with, but Abram believed the Lord. Uh-oh, we got some trumping going on now. Because he's speaking the truth. Listen to me, Lifehouse Church, you sacrificially gave in that shift offering. Boy, I got to be careful. Slow down, speak slowly. Pastor Drew came and asked him to share that word at our church the last Sunday in December. A couple weeks later, there was a guy in our church doing some painting. And I was talking to one of my board members that was in there with him. And I said something about having to make some changes. And my board member goes, you know, shift happens. And the painter goes, not 30 seconds later, the custodian walks in. I said, hey, sis, I'm sorry, we got some painting going on. You know, if you can adjust your schedule and paint it up. She goes, sure, no problem, shift happens. And the guy goes, what kind of church is this? Thanks, brother. Yeah. You gave sacrificially in that shift offering. And I can tell you today, standing right here between the two spouts where the glory's coming out, I'm glad. Amen. I am glad today. You fasted and you prayed for your family. You fasted and prayed for your church, and God has heard your prayers. Next week, you're going to come and sit here, and you're going to hear the vision that God has laid on the heart of your pastor, and I'm going to watch it online because I can't wait. I can't wait. But you need to hear me. I promise you, with all these great things that are moving, the buzzards are coming. The buzzards are going to come. And it's up to you. It's up to us to chase the buzzards away. Don't let a sour spirit get in here. Chase it away. Don't let hurt feelings get in here, chase it away. Don't let some petty thing, my apologies to anybody named Petty, don't let some petty thing come in here and start picking at your sacrifice. Recognize it and stop it. And say, wait, 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 wait. This is not who we are. We don't fight over this thing or that thing. One of the greatest things that happened to my church is that the roof fell in and we lost everything. You know what we had to fight over? Nothing. And that's the church I came in to pastor. I said, is there any sacred cows here? They said, we done barbecued them a long time ago. Brisket, come on somebody. You got the redneck pastor here. The buzzards are going to try to come. I want you to chase them away. I don't want anything to pick at what God has for this church down the road. Amen? Amen. Now today in this place, there may be some people here that say, Pastor Todd, I've got some buzzards in my life. I have sacrificed, and I've served God, and I've prayed, and I've fasted, and I've done these things, and I'm telling you, the enemy is just coming at me. There may be a couple here today, you'd never know it by the smile you put on your face when you walk through the doors back there, but your marriage is tough. It's tough right now. Because the buzzards have been picking at what you've done. There may be some parents or grandparents. You got some prodigal kids. You have sacrificed. You have fasted and you have prayed. And you know what the Word of God says. It promises you that if you train up a child in the way they should go, when they are old, they will not depart from it. But dadgum, you've been sitting here for a while. And now the buzzards are coming in. And they're picking at what's important to you. Whatever the promise is, whatever the calling is, whatever the need is, I'm so thankful today. If you keep reading Genesis 15, God shows up. God shows up. And he seals the covenant with Abram. Calls him Abraham, tells him to be the father of many nations. And the rest is history, isn't it? God came through. I just wonder in this place today, can we just be still for just a moment before the Lord? Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? Would you show us the buzzards in our life? God, would you forgive me for the times I spoke buzzard when I should have been speaking faith? For the times I got frustrated over my situation, over my family, over my marriage, over my kids, over my finances, over my job, over my church. But Lord, today I'm ready to make a covenant with you. And all that I have sacrificed, I'm going to lay before you today. And Lord, I'll tell you, I'll chase the buzzards away until your promises come true. That your hand will not be upon this church. Your hand will not be upon this family of believers. Your hand will not be upon your family and your marriage and your job and your finances. Because today, Lord, we're going to make a covenant agreement. A covenant agreement. We don't care what the facts are, because we have the truth of the promises of your word. So, Father, today, would you set aside this area up front as holy ground? And that, Lord, just as Abram came, we're going to come today. And we're going to lay our sacrifices before you. And we're going to chase the buzzards away. And we're going to deal with all the buzzard talk that's been in our heads. And that, Lord, I will stay here until I feel you with me in this moment. Moms, dads, parents, grandparents, whatever it might be today, if you're here and you say, man, I have got to chase some buzzards away, would you come on up right now? I want to pray for you. Just come stand right here in front of the church. Just come stand in front of the church. You're going to chase some buzzards away today. That's right. right. Not my marriage, buzzards, you're not getting it. Not my family, buzzards, you're not getting it. Not my sacrifice, not the things that I've done for you, Lord. I'm not letting the buzzards have it. Anybody else? We're getting ready to pray. Just lift your hands right now. Father, thank you that in this holy moment where we bring everything before you, God, all that we have sacrificed, all that we have given, all that we have prayed and fasted about, all that we have worked for, we lay it before you right now. God, would you forgive me for the times that I spoke more buzzard than I did faith? When I let circumstances and situations and facts begin to affect my speech, I repent right now. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. God, you've promised marriages to be a lifetime together. I speak that over the marriages here today. Lord, you have a plan for families, Father God. And I speak that plan over each family represented here today. For every child, for every grandchild. Lord, I call home every prodigal today. Every prodigal. No matter what the buzzards say, Lord, I speak the truth. I speak faith over them that they will come home today. Bring them home. Bring them home. And until they get home, I'm chasing the buzzards away. You can't have them. You can't have them. Right now, just bring a peace and a presence into each one at this altar today, God. Lord, that they might know that they know that they know. That, Lord, you have seen their sacrifice. And you are walking through it with them. Thank you, Lord, that you make every promise come true. Thank you, Lord, that you meet every need. That you make a way when there seems to be no way. That if you have to do some new thing, you'll do a new thing. Prophet Isaiah declared. I pray that over these here at this altar today. Seal it, Holy Spirit. Seal it. Call it yes and amen and amen and amen. So be it. So be it. I believe it. God said it. I believe it. I believe it. So be it.
Invite everyone to stand, if you would. Come on, aren't you thankful for the word today? Come on, can we thank Pastor Todd? I mean, Pap, can we thank Pap today? Lifehouse, I pray that the Lord would bless you and protect you, that the Lord would smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, may it be so. God bless you. I love you, and I cannot wait to see you next Sunday for Vision Sunday.